From Spark and Anvil and Growforge, this is Glow, in Chapter 1 of the Growforge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. Glow had her nose almost touching the lettuce leaf, and she was grinning like it had told her a secret. To everyone else, it was just a leaf. Green, a little crinkled, sitting under the workshop's digital microscope. But Glow tapped the screen, and the picture zoomed and zoomed again, past the veins, past the surface, down into a single tiny cell. And there they were, dozens of little green dots packed together like beads in a jar. "There," she whispered, "chloroplasts. See them? Every one of those is making lunch, right now, while we watch." A girl leaning over her shoulder squinted. "It's just sitting there, though. It's not doing anything." "It's doing the most anything of anything in this whole garden," Glow said. "Sunlight is coming in through the window. It hits those green dots, and inside each one, the leaf is taking the light, and some water, and some air, and building sugar out of them, making its own food, out of light." She sat back, still glowing a soft gold at the edges the way careful fireflies do when they're happy. "Animals eat food. Plants make food. That little lettuce is a tiny factory running on sunshine, and nobody ever tells you that's what you're looking at." The girl looked at the leaf again, then at the green dots on the screen, then back at the leaf, like it had grown three sizes. "Huh," she said quietly, and Glow knew that, huh? It was the best sound in the world. Glow remembered the first time a leaf got big on her. She'd been small, sulking in the garden, mad at a wilting bean plant that wouldn't grow no matter what she did. She'd fed it, she'd watered it, and she remembered thinking, cross and confused, "What do you even eat? Why won't you just take the food I'm giving you?" Her uncle, an old firefly with a slow flicker, had drifted down beside her. He didn't tell her to be patient. He just said, "You keep trying to feed it, little spark, but it isn't hungry the way you're hungry." "Everything's hungry," Glow had said. "It is, but it doesn't eat with a mouth." He'd rested one wing near the leaf. "It eats with the sun. Put it somewhere the light can reach, keep its roots wet, and it'll cook its own lunch, out of the light and the water and the air. It doesn't need your food. It just needs its ingredients." Glow had moved the pot into the window that afternoon, and over the next week she'd watched the bean plant lift itself up toward the light, unfurling, reaching, feeding on something she couldn't even see. That was the moment. The plant hadn't been ignoring her. It had been waiting for the one thing she'd been keeping it from, and the feeling that filled her, the tingly, lit up, "Oh, that's how it works" feeling, never really went away. It just got bigger every time she learned a little more. She came to Growforge at 12, because a place that grew things ought to know what was happening inside the things it grew. Sprig, the old mentor who ran the greenhouse, met her at the door. He didn't ask if she had a green thumb. He handed her a single blade of grass and asked, "Where does a plant's body come from? All that stem, all those leaves, where's the stuff of it made?" Most people said soil. Glow didn't. She held the grass up to the light so it went bright and see-through. "Mostly from the air," she said, "and the light. It breathes in a gas most people can't even see, drinks a little water, catches the sunshine, and builds itself out of that. The soil barely feeds it at all. It's building its own body out of sunlight and air." Sprig went quiet for a moment. Then he smiled. "Almost nobody gets that right the first time," he said. "You belong here."
Glow's corner of the greenhouse was where kids came when a plant confused them. A boy stomped in one afternoon, holding a droopy little seedling like it had betrayed him. "It's dying," he said. "I keep it warm, I feed it plant food from the store, and it just droops. I did everything." Glow knew that droop, not the plants, the boys. She'd worn it in the garden with her bean. "Where do you keep it?" she asked. "My closet shelf," It's cozy in there. Any light? He paused. No. Glow set the seedling under her microscope and zoomed in the way she loved, down to the cells, down to the green dots. See those? Chloroplasts. They're the lunch makers. Sunlight hits them, and inside they combine water and a gas from the air into sugar. The plant lives on that sugar. That's its food. She looked up at him. You've been giving it a cozy, dark shelf and a snack it can't use. But it doesn't eat with its roots. It eats with light. In the dark, those green dots have nothing to work with. It's not sulking. It's starving for the one thing you took away. The boy stared at the little green dots. So the store food helps a little, like vitamins. But the meal, the real meal, is light plus water plus air, built into sugar right there in the cells. Put it in the window. Glow slid the pot toward him. Then just watch. In a couple of days, it'll start reaching for the sun. You'll be able to see it eating. The boy took the pot carefully, both hands, like it was breakable. That's kind of amazing, he said. It makes its own food out of sunlight. Right? And every leaf you'll ever see is doing it, Glow said. Every blade of grass, every tree in the park. Free lunch from light, all day, everywhere, forever. And the leftover, the oxygen it breathes out, is the air we breathe in. We're partners. It feeds itself with light. We feed ourselves by eating it. The whole chain starts in that green dot.
Later, when the greenhouse had emptied, the boy came back with one more question. Quieter now. If it's just chemistry, he said, just cells and sugar and gas, doesn't knowing all that make it less magic? Glow thought about her uncle and the bean plant reaching for the window, and the huh she'd felt that never got smaller. Other way around, she said. Before I knew, a leaf was just a leaf. Now I know it's catching light out of the sky and turning it into food and breathing out the air I need to live. And I know it's true, not a story, not a maybe. Knowing didn't shrink it. She looked out at the rows of green leaning toward the last of the sun. It made it enormous. The magic was always there. I just couldn't see it until someone taught me where to look. The boy nodded slowly, cradling his seedling toward the window. And Glow felt it again, that warm, lit up, about to grin feeling that started in her chest and spread all the way to the soft gold edges of her wings. The wonder that gets bigger the more you understand. She'd never once gotten tired of it. She hoped he never would either.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Glow. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.